Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I need to catch my breath. I just, you know, went on a complete, you know, I was in a zone to get this podcast being started on time, and now we're live. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate all the support I'm getting. I got a lot of support my first podcast, and I got a lot of support my last podcast, and all the others in between. And I'm really excited about, you know, what the sports world has, you know, unfolded. And I'm going to start out with March Madness, obviously. Did my phone just sneeze? So everyone, well, mostly everyone, knows that March Madness is here. They just released the tournament last night. And, you know, it's pretty special. You know, it's a special time to be a part of. And it seems like everyone makes a tournament bracket. Well, actually, I've made more than one already. It starts Thursday, and that's obviously the deadline to make a bracket. And I've already filled out 7. At this rate, I'm going to get about 21 in. I'm actually aiming for around 30 or 40. So we'll see how it goes. I have to talk. Mostly everyone knows that I am a Duke Blue Devils fan. These birds are so weird. I'm not talking about the Kansas Jayhawks. There's birds outside my bedroom. Anyways, Duke is my favorite team, and everyone seems to like Duke. Well, not the UNC fans, but what I mean is they like Duke to make the Final Four. And, you know, honestly, I think all of these brackets are weak. You know, maybe Duke can make it to the Final Four. Maybe Duke can make it all the way. I just don't see it this year, and I don't see it absolutely at all, you know, because of the circumstances. First of all, Duke won the national title back in 2010, and you know what they also won? The ACC tournament. They haven't won either one since. And they've been ousted in the ACC tournament, you know, before they reached to the Final Two. And the same thing says for the NCAA tournament. They've lost to Lehigh, and I don't even remember the other team's name. And, I mean, it has just been horrific as a Duke Blue Devils fan. You know, they have a great regular season, and then once a regular season ends, what they played Carolina for the second time, it just sort of goes off the rails there. Obviously, this team has a lot of NBA talent with Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones. I don't think Tyus leaves after this year. And Jahlil Okafor hasn't even made up his mind if he wants to leave after this year. I think Tyus wants to stay at least 3 years, maybe even 4, like Quinn Cook. And by the way, I think Quinn Cook is he would be perfect for another team in the NBA. You know, we've seen Seth Curry, and we've seen Andre Dawkins, two guys who, you know, graduated from Duke, stayed all 4 years. And, you know, they're in the D-League right now. And, you know, the D-League has done so many wonders for this basketball world that is so corrupt right now. You obviously have guys leaving after they're one and done. And without the D-League right now, you know, you wouldn't see guys like Hassan Whiteside, you know, getting that chance to shine and, you know, that chance to develop. I mean, obviously, you know you're not going to see, you know, Anthony Davis back when he was coming out, or Jahlil Okafor or someone like that in the D-League, but you will see, you know, people in second round, even after the lottery, you know, the first 14 picks, you know, it seems like most, if not all, after that go to the D-League. You know, there's a rare occasion like Norris Cole, you know, back when Miami was condemned, but need a point guard. So they had to throw Cole in the mix, who's still a promising talent, was traded to New Orleans last month. Anyways, you know, the D-League is going to be perfect for Quinn Cook. And, you know, in like 3 years, you're going to hear his name come up. I mean, he is special. And I knew that because when I first saw him play for Duke. I mean, it didn't take me till a senior season like most people to recognize how good he really was. He was so energetic, and he can just, oh my goodness, he can electrify, ignite the Duke Blue Devils. And, you know, with his defensive play and, you know, his offense, he hit so many three-pointers this year. It's great. But, yeah, it's really a security blanket for, you know, the diaper dandies coming out before they're in big boy underwear. You won't hear that on ESPN. But I really want to say that Duke, you know, it depends who they match up with in the first round. I mean, the second round. Or actually, the second round is the 64 because of the four extra teams. So, in the third round, the round is 32. It depends who they match up with. Do they match up with St. John's or do they go up against San Diego State? I think if they meet St. John's, you know, Duke can get into the Sweet 16. I think it's very realistic. And maybe even to the Elite Eight, where they can meet up with a team like Iowa State, who is really, really good and really underrated. Or they can meet Gonzaga and, you know, some people like UCLA or SMU. I don't. But what's really going to hurt Duke is not because – none of these teams match up in talent until you get Duke and Kentucky, which, thankfully, I mean, we won't get to this, but thankfully they've made the bracket to where we could potentially see the Kentucky Wildcats versus the Duke Blue Devils, in which everyone wants to see, or a common basketball fan would want to see. But I think Kentucky can make it. I think Kentucky, the earliest they lose is the Elite Eight. And if they make that, see, I only see them losing in the Elite Eight. And they would have Notre Dame or Kansas or Butler, Texas, Indiana, Wichita State, who have you. And they could potentially lose right there. Not dissing teams like Maryland or West Virginia or Buffalo, who could very well get to the Sweet 16. You know, you never know if March Madness. I absolutely love this. But if Kentucky makes the Final Four, I don't see them losing in the Final Four or the national championship game unless it's just against a completely great team that just, see, John Calipari is a trendsetter. I don't know if I've talked about this in a podcast or on a chat, but he is a trendsetter. He really brought the one and done into fruition, and everyone's copied him because, well, it worked. He won a national championship with that. And now, how Kentucky's so good this year? It's not their recruiting. This year. It was their recruiting last year. And they got their guys to stay, even if they were going to be lottery picks in the NBA and starters making a couple million dollars. They're making nothing in Kentucky, as far as I know. I mean, and they're going to look and see if Kentucky makes it all the way this year. You know, people are going to be like, hey, Jahlil Okafor, maybe you should think about staying. Justice, Tyus, maybe you should think about staying. Look what Kentucky just did. You know, they had talent, and they gave up a spot in the NBA a year earlier to come back and win a championship, and they got it done. Duke just doesn't have as much depth, and I think, you know, by the time they get to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, they're going to get tired, and they're going to lose by double digits. And it's just going to be bad three, you know, selling for three, shooting bad. Remember to fill out your ESPN bracket. Stay tuned to my page. It's actually Michael Davis. It's not my personal Facebook. It would be one you'd have to like, and that's how I'm expanding my brand for sports journalism. I may actually start a group on ESPN.com to where you can enter your bracket and see who actually does well. I used to have a message board, a forum, you know, with a few wrestling friends of mine, and we would do that. And I think I finished with the third best bracket. And see, you don't even have to like or even know March Madness. I've seen, you know, girls with no knowledge. No offense to girls listening who actually have knowledge. But I see girls who, you know, just randomly pick, you know, the teams, and they end up having some of the best brackets out there. You know, it's really special. So, I may do that. I have to move on, though, because I have already talked 12 minutes. Wow. I can ramble on, guys. Good thing I did this podcast. But I really, really wanted to get to Vince Wilfork. He signed with the Houston Today on a 2-year deal. Did that just not make the Houston Texans, you know, serious threat to the Indianapolis Colts? Okay, I think the Colts improved. They were a young team, and at least on offense. So they needed some leadership along with Andrew Luck. They got Frank Gore, who actually provides a running game. I don't know if he'll produce as well as he did with San Francisco in that offensive line, unless they improve it in the draft. If he slips, I mean, the Colts should really, really consider T.J. Clemens. People are starting to say Andrews Pete is a top 10 guy, and, you know, maybe he is. I wouldn't take him in the top 10. You know, he may be a Pro Bowl player, but I just wouldn't spend that much on a person who could be. But I love T.J. Clemens. I think he's going to be special. I think he'd be good for Indianapolis. So Indy has got Andre Johnson, who replaces Reggie Wayne, but may be even more productive. And I still think they'll go for a receiver in the mid to late round of the draft and see, hey, can this kid contribute 30 catches a year? I mean, but I think the Texans hugely, and I'm about to say this, even though Andre Johnson went to the Colts, I think the Texans, you know, closed that gap or got closer to the Colts. I know the Titans aren't going to contend next year, and I know the Jaguars aren't. But the Texans signed with Vince Wilfork, and I love the defense last year. Everyone was like J.J. Watt MVP, and you know, he probably was. But that entire defense is special. You know, they just have to make sure they stay healthy. And, you know, you have to double-team Vince Wilfork. He's not in his prime right now, and he never will be again, obviously. But you still have to double-team that man because, you know, he's so big and, you know, he can just, you know, push you off to the side and, you know, get to the backfield just like that. And J.J. Watt moves around on the defensive line. And J.J. Watt obviously has to be double-teamed too. So this should give no reason whatsoever that Jadeveon Clowney can't produce. I mean, I thought I'm about to say something that may or may not be popular. I know it wasn't popular last year, but Jadeveon Clowney is overrated. You never know the guy without that big hit. You know, that not the running back helmet off and grab the ball. I can't explain the play. It was a great play, but you never hear the guy without that play. You never think he's a number one overall pick. You just don't. I don't like him. I just think he's lazy. He doesn't love the game as a player in the NFL should, like J.J. Watt does. I mean, it's not just J.J. Watt's ability. It's his passion and drive for the game to get better each and every year. And if he gets better this year, you know, it hands down, you know, the best player in the game. But Jadeveon Clowney has no excuse right now. Not one excuse. Spoke of the draft a few times. Vince Wilfork, if the Texans can improve on offense, get a receiver to go opposite of DeAndre Hopkins, I think their quarterback situation's great right now. Well, not great, but good. With Hoyer and Mallett, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be competing for the starting job. You have Arian Foster. You know, all you need to do is help the O-line, you know, get a couple targets. And, you know, you close that gap, and you're probably favorites, you know, in that division. Make them down to the last week. And no, yeah, nobody will say that. I actually still think that, you know, the Colts could make it to the Super Bowl. I think they were better off than last year when I actually picked them or the Patriots to go. I said the Colts are the Patriots, and then they end up in the AFC Championship game and prove to me that Chuck Pagano coaches not to lose rather than coaches to win. I got into that with someone on Facebook. I think I even mentioned that in my last podcast. Since I've talked about the draft, I may as well say something about the projected number one overall pick, Jameis Winston. And, you know, unless Tampa Bay has a change of heart and says, that movie Draft Day, I won't spoil it for you, so I'll keep that comment to myself. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch it, because I'm bound to talk about it in one podcast. But maybe they have a change of heart, and, you know, they say, Mariota, we can trust him, and he's our guy. He doesn't make mistakes on or off the field. He's mature, and he's not so big about himself. The dude won the Heisman and was just okay. I mean, he looked. I'm trying to find the word. He looked humble. He is humble. Oh, someone's talking so high of me. I don't know what to say. Someone's got a girlfriend. My parents do that to me all the time. Not the but, you know, I was eating this past weekend, you know, or not much. And they're like, who is she? Can't live off love alone. Can I have your parents do that? You guys got to let me know on Facebook or anything if your parents do that. But Jameis Winston, obviously, we know about, you know, the rape allegations, and We know about the crab legs, but dude's not even in the NFL yet. And he even trademarked Famous Jameis. Seriously. How many guys can throw the second most interceptions in the nation and, you know, said to be a shoe-in for, you know, the first overall pick in the National Football League, where he's playing grown men and not players who go and work at car dealerships, you know, in 5 years? I mean, come on. I mean, if he throws that many interceptions in college against lesser competition and against slower people, I mean, it's a slower pace in college. I mean, we all talk about the offense of Chip Kelly and Oregon and Baylor, but it's not as fast as, you know, it's not going to be as fast for Jameis, you know. He's going to be in the pocket and he's going to be like, oh no. Did you just see that? Cameron Jordan, if he's not traded, is pretty fast. Oh wait, I didn't even do that right. Who else is, you know, well, there's no pass rush in the division. There's no pass rush, especially if Greg Hardy doesn't resign. Oh, I remember that Luke Kuechly guy. He's, oh! That was my hint. But yeah, he's not even going to be able to get a sentence out before he's crushed by Luke Kuechly or Thomas Davis or just anyone in that division, anyone in the NFL. He's even going to throw the ball, and, you know, you could see a guy wide open like Russell Wilson did in the Super Bowl with that slant pass, and, you know, he gets intercepted. But I talked about 6 minutes about Jameis Winston. I didn't even get to the thing I wanted to. But I have 6.5 minutes left, so I'm able to go on. He's not attending the – he hasn't made up his mind, yes or no, confirmed 100% if he's attending or not. But he's leaning a lot towards not going to Chicago for the NFL draft. And, you know, Dez Bryant didn't do it. I mean, it doesn't really matter, you know, hey, if you don't go, you're not going to have a great keeper. I mean – he's invited, he's the number one pick, and I mean, yes, you want to spend it with your family and, you know, all your friends, but how about you just take your parents, you know, take any siblings or, you know, a girlfriend, you know, to the draft, you know, have that once-in-a-lifetime experience with them. You're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, you're going to make, you know, money on your rookie contract. Even you can have a party with your friends, you know, back when you get home. I mean, you probably will, Jameis. The draft, please. I mean, you're just showing you don't care for, you know, any of this. Am I wrong for thinking that he should go to Chicago? If you're the number one overall pick and you leave the draft early and you're a quarterback, don't you want to go? Like, put up with the interviews that you'll have to do in the NFL and, you know, just be able to walk across that stage with your new Tampa Bay Bucks ball cap. What's so hard about that? And obviously, you can tell I do not like Jameis Winston. I insanely do not. But yeah, I don't think he's going to succeed. Everyone was high, well, a lot of people were high on EJ Manuel, a first round pick, for Buffalo Bills, and he got benched for Kyle Wharton, who has been in that position and failed before. And they trade for Matt Castle. So, like, EJ Manuel's from Florida State, and he's already done. Jameis Winston, I believe, is going to be the same thing, but put Tampa in a more of a hole. Why'd Bruce Carter choose to go to Tampa Bay? I mean, they're going to be bad for the next 5 years at least. Maybe even 10. Man, it must be hard for Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of today and what will be the next 10 years. You know, the team you worked so hard for, you gave them Super Bowl, and you just see all these players, and you're like rolling your eyes in the back of your head and saying, how did this organization get to this? I know. I wasn't alive, but the Cowboys won Super Bowls in the 90s, and you know, from the time I really started watching was really when the time Tony Romo took over. I started watching the games with my dad, and you know, just loved the game at first sight. And we were bad. I mean, Romo started out hot, and you know, we went to the playoffs, but we never, you know, get to that. We haven't been to a Super Bowl in two decades, no Super Bowl appearance. That is the Dallas Cowboys. But they were close. They were really close this year. Got less than 2 minutes left. Before I let you go, I would love to say that Tim Tebow worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles. I love Tim Tebow. I do not love the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate the Eagles. But I love Tim Tebow, and I love what he stands for. I love that he stands for Christ. And he's such a great guy. I saw a meme. And for anyone listening, they know me. I am very respectful. And, you know, never intend to be rude. So if I ever come off rude to you, I don't mean it. I'm sorry. But there was this woman who actually made the meme herself and posted it and tagged one of my friends in. I don't know the lady. I'm not friends with her on Facebook, but I was friends with one of the people she tagged. That's how I saw it. And, you know, it was something about Sam Bradford, and she's a Cowboys fan. A derogatory thing towards Sam Bradford, another player I don't even know. And, you know, had Tim Tebow and, you know, really, you know, bashed, you know, when he was, you know, kneeling and giving thanks to God and praying. And she's like, he's praying for a 50% completion percentage. And, you know, I obviously said something, and then she messaged me back. I wish I had kept that. I wish I had kept her message and had it in front of me. But she was like, does your mama let you on Facebook, little kid? Don't ever call me on my thing again. And, you know, and said some words that I'm not allowed to say or I don't choose to say and blocked me. I don't know why I said that. I just had to fill this time. Good luck to Tebow and whoever he plays for. And thank you for listening. Appreciate the support. Like my page, all your sports coverage, and my page, Michael Davis. Thank you.